So then, Roy Noble, it is until 5 o'clock on BBC Radio Wales. It's a Thursday in Wales, too, on whatever part of the planet you're on. Let us know, in fact, what it's doing with you, because the weather here is uncertain and inclement. Yes, maybe fine 1 hour, and then the following hour is pouring down, let me tell you. So, the word global warming is, the words global warming have been changed to climate change now. I don't know what it will be in a fortnight, mind. We'll see. But now that we're talking about the planet, how about planets elsewhere, too? And once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away, the opening music to one of the most popular science fiction films ever made. I refer, of course, to Star Wars, released in, would you believe, 1997, with John Williams' memorable composition, too. Films have that wonderful quality, don't they, sometimes of having such an impact that they go on to influence many of the choices we make because they become part of the fabric of our lives. Well, one such Newport-based fan joins me now. Not only did Star Wars inspire him in his choice of career, but he's just returned from Tunisia, where he was involved in a very special restoration project. And let's find out if indeed the Force was with him now. Terry Cooper, you're very welcome. Good afternoon, Terry.
Hello, thank you.
Pontypridd boy, but to Newport now.
Well, I'm not based in Newport, but yeah. I'm connected to Newport in a rather romantic manner, but the less said, the
good
better.
Yes, exactly right, there we are. But Pontypridd then, is your...
Yes, Pontypridd,
there
yes.
We go. Tell us about your first memories of the film then, because you must have been quite young.
I was about 7 or 8. I was living in London with my two brothers and my mother, and we got the film Star Wars in the form of Marvel comics before we even got to the cinema.
Right.
So, we knew exactly what was going on in the film before we even got to the cinema, but finally my mother took us to the cinema, and in those days you could sit in the auditorium and watch the film as many times as you like. So we got in halfway through the movie, watched the end, and then waited to the whole beginning again and watched it all the way through again.
Yeah, that's right. Now then, merchandise linked to a film, was a very new thing in those days, wasn't it? So I suppose really it was groundbreaking stuff.
Absolutely. George Lucas has been credited with revolutionising film techniques and special effects techniques, but what a lot of people don't realise is that he revolutionised merchandising and kind of invented it again for Star Wars, because at the time Star Wars came out, you couldn't get the small action figures.
Right.
Everyone had things like Action Men, or in America it was G.I. Joe, and large figures like that, but George Lucas said, let's make 4-inch pocket figures that would cost pennies. And, he started all that off as well.
God. It's quite a film, you're talking about actors in it. Alec Guinness, I gather, I didn't know this, he was the only actor who accepted a lower salary to the others, because the others went for a higher salary, but a fixed salary. He went for a spin-off of the profits.
That's right. Alec Guinness is one of my favourite actors. I think he must have been a little wiser than the rest, because everyone else thought, well, this is a completely outlandish film. We've never seen anything like it. It's stranger than Planet of the Apes, which came out in 1968. And he sat back and said, well, George, I think I'll take the merchandise deal if it's all the same to you. And he stood to make a lot of money out of it, and it was a wise decision. So
That was very good.
Yes, tip. I do the Alec Guinness as well.
Do you do any of the others?
Yes, I do.
Which one's in?
I do C-3PO, the golden robot from Star Wars. I'm doing my best to not fall over and kick R2 from getting under my feet.
Fair play. Well, here we are. It's a sideline for you here now. No problem at all, isn't there, really?
Goodness gracious me.
Yes. Now, the exterior shots, largely filmed in the desert of Tunisia.
That's right. In the south of Tunisia, in a place called Nefta, which is... the village is probably 5 or 6 shops and a very, very small hostel. It's a very, very poor country. It's very barren. And where the exterior of Luke Skywalker's house is, for 100 miles, there's nothing. It's just flat, salt flats. It's not even really sand. It's almost like grit.
Really?
And there's nothing to see for about 100 miles all the way around.
How did you come to first visit the place then?
Well, it's one of those things that, I think for a Beatles fan, they want to stand on the zebra crossing at Abbey Road. For an Elvis yes, fan, they want to visit Graceland.
Yeah. You are talking a converted boy here. I've been to many sites that appeared in films.
There you go.
Yeah, there we are. So you just wanted to do that?
Yeah, I saw documentaries about it, and I thought, well, when can I get around to doing this? And it wasn't until, you know, sort of 2002, 2003, when I found a chap from Belgium called Mark Dermel, who was organising trips to take people out because he knew exactly where all the sites were. And I contacted him, and in 2003, you know, I just sort of packed a bag and jumped on a plane and met up with 11 complete strangers, and we travelled the entire sites just as a fun thing to see what was there.
But it left an impact on you, did it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as anyone knows, whether you're a biggest rugby fan in the world, if you get to step onto the Millennium Stadium or Cardiff Arms Park, as it was then, you're filled with the excitement of the whole thing. And the same with Star Wars. If you go to one of these sites, you feel like you've stepped through the screen. You're actually there. It's all the way around you. The desert's very hot. And, you know, you think, I'm standing here where they made the movie.
And you went back there several times?
I went back there in 2003. I missed out the 2005 trip because I think I was all sanded out. And I went again in 2010. And that's when we noticed that the small igloo building for Luke Skywalker was in a very bad way. It started to rot and fall apart.
It needed tender loving care.
Yes, it did.
And that's what the labour of love was, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of started out as a joke. We looked at it and said, oh, if only someone could come back and fix this thing, because the locals won't, because they're so poor out there, they don't have cinema, DVDs, and they don't really care for Star Wars, which is fair enough. But we kind of got back and mentioned it on Facebook, and then we just made up this campaign called Save the Lars Homestead, and all of a sudden we got inundated with donations from people as far away as Thailand, Singapore, Australia, Japan.
Good heavens.
Within a year.
Well, when you say we went up there, you know, we organised this, I mean, what is it, a society, a club that you formed now or something?
No, not really. It was just the six of us who'd been out there in 2003 and 2010. But when I say we, it's basically the Star Wars community around the world. Anybody who likes Star Wars or anybody who's into movie history, they saw what we were doing.
Did you have to have special permission, say, from George Lucas, the original director or something, before you started it up?
Well, we had to have permission from the Tunisian government. Right. Luckily, Mark from Belgium speaks very good French, because that's what the second language out there, and he spent a whole year, or 2 years, negotiating with them to make sure that we were allowed to do that kind of thing, especially in the current political uprisings that they had there. But we did contact Lucasfilm. We were speaking to a guy called Steve Sansweet, who was the fan liaison member of Lucasfilm, and he gave us the big thumbs up.
Okay.
He said they can't get financially involved, because that would obviously open floodgates for everyone who's got an idea. But we spoke to him. Then we managed to speak to Mark Hamill, who plays Luke Skywalker, and he was absolutely enthusiastic about it, completely over the moon, and was backing us all the way.
Cool. And no problem with the Tunisian government?
No, all they wanted to know was why we wanted to do it, because they needed a refresher on just how big Star Wars is in the Western world. And they wanted to make sure that something benefited the country, whether it was from tourism or getting some jobs for people there to work on it.
Well, you're from Pontypridd, you know, this gang, this group that keep growing out there. I mean, where are they from then? From all over?
Yeah. The core members of the group is Mark Dermel from Belgium, Mark Cox from Norwich, Robert Cunningham from the States, lives in Arizona, and Emmanuel Dyke from the Netherlands, and who was the last guy? Michel Verporten, the professional photographer. He lives in Belgium, but I'm pretty sure he's French.
Right. So you all got together, got the stuff eventually, ordered it in, got it sort of transported there. Must have been pretty hot out there working.
Yes, that's the understatement of the year. As you know, on some of the video footage, I do a piece to camera where I'm saying, you know, to do this kind of work, you know, digging and mixing cement and hammering and nailing bits of wood and this kind of thing, would be, you know, quite sweaty work for anyone in any country. But to do it in the middle of the North African desert with no shade, at one point it got to 50 degrees centigrade. So that's, you know, that's a hot bath. And we couldn't work much more after that.
No. And it's affected your health in some way, hasn't it?
It did a little bit. Three of us got struck down with what we like to call sand people's revenge.
Right. yes.
And, you know, that put me out of action for one day. But luckily, we all didn't fall ill at the same time. So no. The work got done in time and on schedule, etc.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it here. It's in with our television, really. The photographs of it. It's looking the part, isn't it? It's certainly a tremendous year showing you here with the igloo.
Yeah.
In the middle of the desert.
I mean, if you see some of the other pictures that are available,
yeah.
When we saw the igloo in 2010, it was in a pretty poor state. There were holes in it. All the chicken wire and the wood and the cement and plaster had fallen off. People had climbed over it and put their footprints through it. And it wasn't going to last much longer. If you see it now, it yeah. actually shines in the desert. And because it's on a salt flat, if you're 100 miles away, you can look over to where the desert is and you can see a kind of mirage effect with this, it looks like a big lake, with a yes. big white shining pearl in the middle of it, and that's what we've done, and, you know, we've painted it.
Well, it's a phenomenal photograph here as well. This is before the renovation, but
yeah.
it's a night or evening, with an evening star about
yeah, it's
it.
A lovely shot, that is, yeah.
Extraordinary. And it's there, quite remote, incongruous, really. And you're sitting on one of these sort of transporter-type things,
yes.
which are made of
yes.
rubber,
I suppose. That picture's going everywhere. Somebody decided, I think it was Emmanuel from the Netherlands, he brought an inflatable land speeder,
yeah.
which is a sort of floating car that Luke Skywalker uses, and he brought the kids' version that you use in a swimming pool, and we all took our turns in sitting in it. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, the one photo of me just seems to have got everywhere. So even CNN are looking at it now.
Are they?
Yeah. The Howard Stern radio show in New York have been talking about it, so it's spreading like wildfire, which is a bit yeah. weird.
And Star Wars is in your blood now, isn't it? Because you're passionate about the film. Has it sort of been powerful in indicating avenues of career choice for you at all?
Sure, definitely. I've always been the one who was not so academic. I'm an artist. I've always have been an artist. And that's my bread and butter.
Right.
I think it's because of my imagination, and things like Star Wars fired my imagination. I'm also the biggest Doctor Who fan ever. So, you know,
yes.
it's all science fiction for me. And as a result, you know, I've moved from artwork to working in animation studios and all these kind of things. And now I'm becoming a writer as well.
Yeah. Not a bad one. I've been looking here at, you know, the critiques. And your first novel has been compared to Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's a very... I hope it was meant nicely.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Douglas Adams, obviously my favourite author.
Yeah.
When I wrote my first book, I wanted it to be an homage to him, so it's a tribute to him anyway.
Right.
And it follows the same kind of mould as Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So it's lighthearted. It's not you know, Shakespeare, and it's not War and Peace. But it's a, you know, hopefully very funny, and hopefully does something for science fiction people as well.
Well, Kang Azang now, written in 2008, and an audiobook version out as well, and Doctor Who actor Colin Baker was the voice on that.
Yeah, we wanted to do an audio version of the first book, and we sent it to Colin Baker thinking, you know, this'll never come back. And he wrote back really enthusiastically and said, you know, he said, it's got that sort of sense of humour that's a bit undergrad, a little bit juvenile, but I like all that. It's got a lot of heart. And he came straight back, and he came down to Cardiff one day, and we recorded him reading the whole book. He played 25 characters, did all the different voices.
Did he? 25 characters?
He sat there and did, you know, in a nine-hour session, he sat there. I think he stopped for a toilet break and dinner once, and that was it. 9 hours solid recording.
Good grief.
He's a major fan, and it's amazing.
Kang Azang 2 is coming out, is it?
Kang Azang 2 is called Star Stuff, and it's actually being released by my publisher, Candy Jar, in Cardiff.
Yeah.
So I've got a copy here which you can have, Roy. That's right in front of me.
Oh, that's very kind of you indeed.
Which I have signed for you on your team.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you indeed. Kang Azang, Star Stuff, Terry Cooper. Tremendous, absolutely tremendous.
I will say that don't be put off by the fact that it's the middle of a trilogy. You can read that one and you'll be up to speed straight away.
Oh, well, there we are. That's very encouraging. So, yeah, I've been very impressed as well with your impressions here. And even down to Colin Baker. How many more have you got in your repertoire?
I've got quite a few. I do a lot of voices. As you can see at the moment, which is great for radio, I'm sporting a nice sort of Van Dyke-style moustache and beard.
Yeah.
This is because I've got an event coming up where I have to dress up as Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. And the thing about Captain Jack Sparrow is He speaks like this, which is a bit like Keith Richards, savvy? Yeah. And, you know, I know you can't see this, but the more you drink and the more you stagger around and the less you get intelligible, people kind of think that's how a pirate should be. So that's exactly what I'm doing. So I'm doing Captain Jack Sparrow in the Millennium Centre on the 22nd.
How about Star Wars? Any more Jabberwacky, whatever?
Star Wars. Yeah. I once did an impression for a little boy using a cup.
Right.
And that just helps to make these sound effects. So I did some. I put the cup to my mouth and I said something like, "The Force is with you, young Skywalker, but you're not a Jedi yet." And he thought that was brilliant. So I did the C-3PO and I said, "Oh, goodness gracious me, I am C-3PO. He said, "That was brilliant." Then he pushed a cup under my mouth and said, "Do Luke." And I said, "Well, you don't need a cup for Luke."
Well, that's amazing. Terry Cooper, then, thanks for coming in and telling us, about such an amazing restoration project. And the igloo looks the part now. And it's out on Facebook. So anybody goes to Facebook, you know, my Facebook, indeed. So it's if you go to bbc.co.uk/Radio Wales, look for the Roy Noble programme. And there it'll be, a photograph of the igloo from Star Wars out in Tunisia at the moment. And Terry Cooper has been part of the medical team going out there to make it better and making it certainly look the part. And I'm sure your efforts as well will have gone a long way to preserve an important part of our film history. Many thanks for coming in. Good luck to you with all your various ventures now.
Thank you very much.
Those with connection to Star Wars and those beyond that.
Thank you.